Founded four centuries ago, Boston has simply never settled. Conversations here determine the future, so let's discover what's next. Join us as we seek out the real Boston, past and present, through stories and perspectives that capture a city always in motion. I'm Martha Sheridan, CEO of Meet Boston, and this is Boston Found. Welcome to Boston Found, the podcast of Meet Boston. I'm your host, Martha Sheridan, and I am thrilled today to welcome a friend to join us on this podcast. I had the privilege of meeting Glenn Jones from NBC 10 about 4 years ago as he first joined the station and moved back to Boston. And we've become friends and colleagues and have had a lot of great shared experiences together. Glenn, we are so happy to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here, Martha. My arm did not need to be twisted to spend a half hour with you.
Thank you.
So it's great to come down here and hang out and to see your new digs.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we love our new offices at 99 High, and you're in our podcast studio, which we love.
I do love it. It's great here.
Tell us a little bit about your journey. Obviously, we've had some parallel experiences in that you also worked for a destination marketing organization. Obviously, you've been in media for quite a while as well. So talk a little bit about your journey. How did you get to the spot you're at right now, which is the anchor of the 6 o'clock news and more on NBC 10 Boston?
In my life, Boston has been like the spot on the rotary that you always have to hit on the way around. I kind of started here in that I went to college at Emerson, so just down the street from where we're sitting right now. Mm-hmm. I studied broadcast journalism there. And I got my first job in Springfield, Massachusetts. Between being at Emerson and being in Springfield, I really got to know Massachusetts. Then I got an opportunity to go and work for a TV station in Fort Myers, Florida. And I know people in this area know Fort Myers pretty well. Of course, it's the home of Red Sox spring training.
Right.
It has been for a very long time. And then after 4 years there, I had an opportunity to come back to Boston. So I did that and worked at the Fox owned and operated station back then. It's been sold since then, but I was in Boston working as a general assignment reporter then. And then after 3 years, I had the opportunity to go back home. And for me, home is Bermuda. So I went back there. I thought it would be for a short period. I had some family issues going on that I had to deal with, but I ended up staying for 15 years.
Wow.
And part of that time was working in the public sector as a press secretary for our head of government in Bermuda. And then doing what you do at the Bermuda Tourism Authority.
Right.
I learned a lot about tourism policy working in the public sector. And then Bermuda Tourism Authority was our new sort of private sector entity, much like Meet Boston is. And I worked there for somewhere between 5 and 6 years and then had the opportunity to come back to Boston. And that's how I got to where I am now, working at NBC 10. And getting reacquainted with Boston has been so exciting. I've really enjoyed it.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. When you and I first met, we were launching in conjunction with our partners, Colette Phillips Communications and Darren Bascom, our all-inclusive Boston campaign. It was in the midst and on the heels of the pandemic, and you were gracious enough to host one of our launch events.
That's right, yep.
And obviously that campaign was designed to tell a different story about Boston, right? The story that many people that have lived here have come to know and love, which is the diversity, the neighborhoods, et cetera. But it hasn't always been that way, and we haven't always had that narrative to share. In your mind, since you've been back, has Boston changed at all? When we're telling that story, is it the truth?
That story rings true for me 100%. In fact, I got to know you through a mutual friend, Elliot Ferguson, who said to me, oh, if you're going to Boston, you got to meet Martha Sheridan.
He is a good man. Love that man.
And when I got to know you, I think you even saw parallels between my life's journey and the kind of story that you were looking to tell for Meet Boston. And so absolutely, it rings true. And I guess I want to highlight that the first time around for me in Boston, it was not by any stretch of the imagination a bad experience. Mm-hmm. And perhaps I didn't even realize how unfulfilled that experience was until I came back more recently. And the feeling as a black man in a big city, I feel much more comfortable. I feel like there's a place for me. I feel like my voice matters more than it did before. And I think that does speak to an evolution over those 15 years that I was outside of the city of Boston, how it evolved in a positive way for all of its citizens. So when I was attached to your event, when you were launching that campaign, I felt like my own voice was in there somewhere. So it was really special to me.
That's great. We're so happy to have you here because your voice is so important. In fact, I love some of the series you've created in your role. Obviously, your anchoring job is important and you're extraordinary at that. But you've really dug in on some really fun topics and some important topics. And I know you're a runner and recently.
A bad one.
Yeah. Hey, listen. No, there's no such thing as a bad runner, except when you're in the cold. I know you're not a fan of the cold, but we won't get too deep into that. Most recently, you did your sneaker story, I'd love to hear your inspiration behind that. And what motivated you to decide to dig in on that topic? We know, obviously, that sneaker production is huge here in Boston, in Massachusetts, but I'd love to hear your personal interest in why that piqued your interest.
Yeah, sure. When I came here to work for NBC Boston, which is part of the NBC Universal family. As our general manager there, Chris Whalen, was talking to me before I came about his view on the changing demographics of the city. And while I believe he knows in his heart that making sure our storytelling is diverse and inclusive is the right thing to do, I think he also understands from a business perspective, it's the smart thing to do. And because in my career history, there has been a commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I told him that I wanted to report about those issues as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, let's get on with it, right? When we got here and I would have questions or be curious about something, even about my own life living in Boston, I can then do stories about what I found. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up doing a story first about Black Men Run, which is I guess it's a national running group, but they have chapters all over the country. So there's a Boston Black Men Run. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing some research about health equity, there's some real disparities between health outcomes for Black people who live in Boston and people of other races that live in Boston. And I really wanted to discover why. So one of the great ways to tell that story was to hang out with Black Men Run, because one of the reasons they exist is that they want to make sure that Black men are thinking about physical health in order to have a better wellness outcome. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got in with them. And of course, instrumental in that activity are sneakers. And so I started to get curious about, my gosh, all these huge sneaker brands have a large presence in Boston. Why is that? Let's see if we can figure that out. And once I started digging in that, the next thing I know, we have a 6-part series that's running all fall long. But it was so fun, so exciting to work on that and to peel back all the layers of why sneakers and Boston have really become married together. I say they're married together like New England and clam chowder. They go together perfectly.
Yes, I think you're right. We love that. Speaking of Chris Whalen and NBC 10, and full disclosure, we have a very solid and strong partnership with NBC 10. But we've come to know the team there, and they are, in my mind, they're just second to none. They're extraordinary. They're leaders in the community. They're supportive of so many different efforts and initiatives. They obviously have a great broadcast. How does it feel working there? Is it family to you now? Did it take time for you to work your way in there, or was it off to the races?
No, it does feel a lot like family. When I started there, they were in maybe what I would describe as a transition period of trying to become who they wanted to be. And it's been exciting to be part of that 2-year process. There can be teething stages and all of that, because it is hard to make a transition for a large organization like that. But I think we're making that transition successfully. And our newsroom, the people who work there, I think are a reflection of our community. And I think there's been a real focus on making sure that's the case. And then when it comes to the partnership that Meet Boston has with NBC Universal, I've had a unique interest in that because I used to work in the destination marketing field. Mm-hmm. So it is brilliant to see how the two entities have partnered in a way that Boston can be promoted at the other NBC Universal stations around fantastic. The country.
Absolutely.
And then drive people here. And I'm a Celtics fan, so I also see what you guys are doing with the Boston Celtics and
very
Mike Gorman's
fun.
Last
yes,
season.
Yes,
and
yes.
All of that has been really exciting yeah. to see as well. There's a real brilliance, I think, to what you guys have put together.
Yeah, I think for us, we went into this arrangement having worked with NBC 10 and Maggie and Chris in relation to the All-Inclusive Boston campaign. And then we grew that relationship for Meet Boston. And for us, it's been an extraordinary way to A, leverage the relationships your station has around the country and get our message out in other markets. But also, most importantly for us, we had rebranded about the time that we started our relationship from Greater Boston Convention
That's
and
right.
Visitors Bureau to Meet Boston. And now, Meet Boston rolls off the tongue of a lot of people. So
yeah,
it
it's a lot easier
worked.
To say,
yes,
I must
sure
mention,
is,
Martha.
Yes. GBCBB was not easy. But you mentioned your career in tourism and you said 5 or 6 year stint in Bermuda. So our friend who we have a mutual friend in Darren Bascom.
Oh, yes.
And he and his firm, Darren is a fellow Bermudian, obviously, and they developed what I think is a brilliant campaign for your home country. I would love to know your thoughts about it. And do you think it really reflects what we're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
It's trying to reflect the true essence of Bermuda versus what people might have perceived it to be.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned Darren, who is a brilliant mind. I should also mention is part of Black Men Run. And is much more committed to running during the winter than I am. So I need to give him props on that.
He's been here long.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. For me, I probably look at the campaign with a more discerning eye than the ordinary consumer because I've worked there before. But I think the thing maybe I'm most proud of in the time that I was at Bermuda Tourism Authority was being the project manager for our national tourism plan. And I can look at that campaign and see threads that we researched and tested when writing the plan come through in his campaign. So that to me is a real dot connector on what we're trying to accomplish and how creatives like the people at Proverb can carry it through.
And it was well received within Bermuda as well, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. And to underscore that point, Martha, and I think perhaps it's something that you might relate to as well, it's really important when you are putting together destination marketing that the people who live in that community understand the message and why it's being told. And when you do that, Bill Hanbury, another person that I know we both know, he would often tell me that when you do that, you're actually creating an extra economic tool, because then all of those people who also believe in the message can help you amplify it. And word of mouth is always the best form of advertising. So when you can have the people who live in a destination be your advocates out there, that is literally priceless. And what Proverb has done, I think they understand that as well. Making sure everybody at home understands what it is they're trying to do and hope that the people who live there are proud of that as well.
So we launched a new campaign as well called Boston Never Gets Old.
Yep.
And we did a lot of local research, talked to a lot of people to make sure that it would resonate. How does that moniker feel to you now that you've been here for 4 years? Boston Never Gets Old. Does it resonate?
It absolutely resonates, because let's talk about where there were potentially some criticisms to the new look and feel of how you were promoting Boston. There might be some sections of the city that felt like they were being left out or forgotten. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think in marketing, what you're trying to do is make sure that the consumer is learning something new about a place they thought they already knew
exactly.
about, right? And so there are so many parts about Boston that are just so obvious. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands that we're the home of the Boston Red Sox and that history lives here. And I think when you created that tagline almost, it's more than a tagline, but let's call it a tagline for the purposes of this conversation. It's a nod that no, the history is not forgotten. In fact, it's so essential to why we're successful, but let's show people the new reasons to come to Boston so that it will make them either come more often or come here and discover something they didn't realize existed in the first place. So I think that's the beauty of the whole
exactly.
thing.
Yeah. Our mindset around that was it's not either or, it's both.
That's
yeah,
right.
I mean, yes. We have incredible history. We don't deny that, but we can't continually just reside in that space. We have to continue to move forward.
That I think that's
never gets old,
right.
Always in motion. So that's our thing. Speaking of always in motion, tell us about a day in the life of a news anchor here in Boston. You have a late night, I know.
I know,
as
yeah.
As you do the 11 o'clock as well as the 6, but I'm sure our listeners are curious to learn a little bit about what your day is like.
Oh, yeah. At first, moving back here a few years ago, as we've alluded to, it was difficult getting the routine right so that I was sleeping enough, eating at the right times, exercising, all of those things, because I do go to work at night and I had spent the past 30 years of my life going to work at a different part of the day. Typically, I'm in the newsroom at around 2:30 in the afternoon and we have editorial meetings and things to pre-record. And then my primary responsibilities are the 6 p.m. news and the 11 p.m. news. So I get home around midnight after coming to work at 2:30. But I also do a lot of reporting, as we've talked about. On those days, it stretches a little because we got to do the reporting during the day. So that means coming in sometimes at 11 a.m. or something like that to work on those stories. But I have to tell you, I am in such a blessed position that I'm able to report on the things that I truly have curiosity or an interest in. It doesn't feel like work during those 12-hour days. It feels like I'm actually spending some time on something that I really care about. So that is a blessed position to be in professionally.
I love the fact that you find your stories and you share them so eloquently. And in fact, I was able to go to a book talk that you hosted.
That's right.
A while back, and the book was The Fence, and it's about our current police commissioner. And I thank you for turning me on to that book.
Yeah, I remember you sent me a text after you had finished it.
It's an extraordinary book,
yeah,
and one that I probably wouldn't have found on my own.
And I think it really does have a subtext to the evolution that we've been talking about during this conversation, Martha, where someone with clear talent and intelligence can have a rough time in Boston 20 or 30 years ago, but then can come back to be a leader and appreciate all the milestones along the way that the city went through. I think that just makes him a better leader.
I would agree with that. He is an extraordinary human. Okay, so now we know that you have long work days, but we know that you like to have fun too. I see you out every now and again at fun events and places. Now that you're back in Boston and you've had some time to get out and explore, tell us a little bit about what are the things that you like to do in Boston. We're a tourism organization, so obviously we're always probing people on what's a day in Boston look like for you.
I can tell you the best days in Boston for me involve the Boston Celtics winning. Lately, that's been good, right? Because they've been winning a lot.
Yes.
That hasn't always been the case, but they've been winning a lot. And gosh, I hope this is the year for Banner 18. Wouldn't that just be fantastic?
When did you become a fan? When you lived in Bermuda as a child or when you went to Emerson?
When I went to Emerson is when I became a fan. So not lifelong, but for most of my life, for sure. And this time period matches the Garnett days for me. So I'm just really happy about that. I spend a lot of time eating out when I have time to spend to just be out in the cities. There are great places. I remember when Camille and I first moved here, our friends who live on the North Shore met us in the city and we went to a place called Sorrelina.
Oh, yes, Sorrelina.
I had never been there before, but that's not one of our favorite places. It was outstanding. Yeah. I really liked that place. But that's fancy, right? Sometimes I like things that aren't quite as fancy. Mm-hmm. So I've been to Bread Gourmet in Dorchester because I love a good burger.
Amazing.
Amazing burgers there. And Grace by Nia's, which is a new place and now is one of my favorite places. The two or three times I've been there, when I'm in that room and the music's playing and the place is buzzing, I always think to myself, this is the perfect version of Boston to me. I love almost all versions of Boston, I should point out. But in that moment, it just seems like it exemplifies the city's potential in terms of what nightlife can look and feel like, where everybody belongs, where talented musicians are on the stage and the best servers and bartenders in the city are there. It is just an incredible experience. Anybody who hasn't been, I would encourage them to go there.
Nia was a guest on our show along with Ed Kane a little while back, and I love Grace by Nia. And when I see Nia, what I always tell her I appreciate is the that she starts her music early.
Yes,
so right. that I don't have to wait until 10 o'clock for the first set.
And it's so good.
It is good. Everything you see there is good. The food is great. And I got to tell you, it's absolutely stunning inside.
It really is. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's just you step into a fantasy version of this great city that I just love stepping into. It's a fantastic place. And the other place that she owns, Daryl's Kitchen, is a place that I know as Bob the Chef's when I was a student at Emerson. So it's also nostalgic to go to that place as well. And almost every place in the South
End. She's rebranding and renovating or altering somehow that space. So we'll wait and see what she comes up with. But I'm sure it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Last question. Where else do you like to travel besides going home to your beautiful country of Bermuda? What other places are on your list or that you've recently been to that have really stood out?
Recently, I went to Copenhagen last summer. It's something that I always wanted to do. It was one of those places on my bucket list. I'm just so impressed at how clean and efficient and happy people look in that city. So I got to go there and spend 3 days riding bicycles and eating croissants and danishes. It was awesome. I guess that exemplifies that Europe is a place that I like to visit. Mm-hmm. So whenever I can go there, I love doing that. I also love the Caribbean. Growing up in Bermuda, we aren't in the Caribbean, but our hearts are very much Caribbean. So going to places like our Barbados and Jamaica is always a great time
for me. And of course, you like that warm weather. So.
I do love the warm weather. And I'm also just fascinated with Asia. I spent some time in Tokyo and in Taipei. Great, fantastic cities. So I'd love to explore more of Asia too.
That's amazing. Yeah, Asia's on my list as well. Glenn, you and I are friends. I think the world of you.
Thank you, Martha.
Appreciate our partnership and all that you've done for us. And I can only say that Boston is so lucky to have you on the air every night telling the stories of Boston. You're extraordinary. And I really thank you for being with us today on Boston Found.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy to be with you and to get to know you. And I look forward to this summer when we have the Olympics and you guys will be telling stories to everybody about Boston.
Yes,
so I'm looking forward to that.
That's great. Thank you, Glenn. Looking to find more Boston stories? Go to meetboston.com and don't forget to share and subscribe to the Boston Found podcast.
This podcast was produced by Mudhouse Media.